Tonight we're going to reflect on Psalm 25, and I will read it to you, and then we'll share some thoughts about it. Psalm 25. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles. Okay, let's pray, and then we'll have some thoughts on these verses. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Psalms. We often are grateful to see emotion, up and downs of life, the psalmist struggling with fears and doubts and questions and problems, sometimes rejoicing in great victories. Lord, we can identify with that. And as we just seek to look a little closer into this particular psalm, we do pray for your help. And Father, I pray so much for your help to share things that will encourage and build us up tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, I think one of the first things to say about this particular psalm is that we realize that David does feel in a spot of bother. We don't know exactly what challenges he's facing. We do know, when we look over his life, that he faced a very wide range of challenges. I mean, one thing that was particularly problematic for him was the fact that he had been anointed king, and he knew that God's hand was upon him, but he also knew that Saul was very reluctant to agree with that and was hunting him down. And even when he became king, he found that enemies of God's people were constantly striving to put an end to him. And living under that sort of pressure was obviously very, very hard. And in all of that, he's crying out to God and seeking God. We also know, and it's possible that this psalm is coming out of the experience I'm about to describe, we also know he was very conscious of considerable failure. And the whole adultery with Bathsheba and the way that that just went so badly wrong led to the death of Uriah and all of the things that were going on. And there was a very real sense of inner conflict and a sense of knowing that he could reach out to God for forgiveness, but being deeply saddened. How did I get into that mess? You know, how did I make those decisions that led to such a horrendous outcome? And those are things that we can understand to some degree or other, challenges that we face in life. And we don't, as I say, absolutely clearly what's going on in the background of this psalm, but any of the things I've mentioned and undoubtedly other issues too were causing him to feel a lot of pressure. But his kind of bedrock, he comes back and he states it right at the beginning of the psalm, "In you, Lord, I put my trust." And however weak he was, and we know he certainly was weak at times, however strong the enemy was, and we know that sometimes the forces raged against him were very, very strong and very, very powerful, but he said, "Lord, I trust in you. I'm a sinner, I'm weak, but I trust in you. I have massive enemies rising up, making their wicked plans to put an end to me, but Lord, I trust in you." And I think that we have that sense of, yes, I trust in you. I know you're the rock. I know you're the dependable one. I know it's you that I can lean upon. But of course, there's also a sense of him saying, I want to trust in you. Lord, I do trust in you, but I want to trust in you. It's a bit like that man who we later read about in the Gospels. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And I think, again, we recognize that sort of wrestling match when things are coming our way and we're admitting our weakness, we're not hiding, we're not trying to pretend that this or that has never happened. We own up, we acknowledge our faults, our sins, our mistakes. We're looking to trust in God, but we really feel the heat of the opposition. We really feel the pressure. One of the things that occurs several times in the psalm is this sense of not being put to shame. Now that's a very interesting situation, an interesting phrase. It's mentioned, I think, at least three times. Don't let me be put to shame. What is he actually saying here? Well, I don't think it's pride. I don't think, I don't want to be put to shame. I don't want to be seen for what I am. It's not that sort of thing. I think that what David knows is that God understands him. God really sees him as he is. God's verdict, God's diagnosis of him is absolutely right. Some people, looking at him, they form an opinion, and it's not really fair. It's not true. There may be some truth in it, but it's lacking. Don't let me be put to shame. And especially as far as the enemies are concerned, if he's been in a situation fighting for God, fighting against the enemies of God's people, he does not want them to be in a position where he is ridiculed, humiliated, and shamed. You know, perhaps the Old Testament stories of how, well, for example, King Saul, beheaded, body hanged on the walls of the city, stripped, armor taken away. That was all part of the way the enemy was absolutely humiliating, degrading, dealing with those that opposed them. David is saying, don't let me be put to shame. You know, one of the things that you learn in certain cultures is that you have to find ways of bringing correction and truth into someone's life, but not to humiliate them. It is possible to do that, perhaps unwittingly. I heard of a friend, an African friend, in fact, who was told to turn out his pockets because there was a question He had been working in a situation where people had been giving him love gifts and offerings, and he was told, turn out your pockets. I want to see if you put anything in there that you haven't put into the general fund. That was a massive mistake. It wasn't an issue of integrity and honesty. That was humiliating him. That was shaming him. And isn't it incredible that God may humble us, God may reveal things that are not right in us, but God will never humiliate us. That's a very different league. That's a different thing, dimension. And this is something that David is trusting in God. Lord, I'm not hiding. I know what's what. I'm not sort of failing to acknowledge where I've gone wrong. But Lord, please don't let me be put to shame. Don't let my enemies be put in a place where they totally get the wrong idea, pull me apart without truly understanding what's going on. And we are so touched how Jesus was humiliated. You know, when they took him and beat him around the face, when the soldiers blindfolded him, when they spat on him, this wasn't humbling an arrogant man before crucifying him. That was humiliation. Jesus was willing to be put to shame for us. But of course, God, watching the events, even though Jesus was humbled and humiliated, as I say, more than that, the Bible says, particularly in Philippians, God lifted him up. God gave him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Shame is a challenging area. And I repeat, God never humiliates us. He may point out our weaknesses, our faults, our sins. He may tell us the truth, which you don't always like to hear, and we're not always comfortable to deal with. But what he will never do is humiliate us. David is praying, please, don't let me be put to shame. I'm trusting in you. I'm looking to you that justice and truth come to light. If something is true about me, so be it. But if it's fabrication, lies, just absolutely trying to mess things up, no, please save me from that. He also prays, lead me into truth. Lord, I'm trusting you because I want you to reveal your truth to me. I want you to make yourself known to me. And one of the things that's very important, living in a deceitful world, in a world that can very easily undermine, in a world that, as I've already said, can get the wrong end of the stick and take a little thing and use it then to beat us, he's saying, lead me into truth. One of the joys of being a Christian is the fact that we have found Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. He is truth. He's the embodiment of truth. Not just a set of doctrines, although he knows more than we do about what we should and shouldn't believe, and yet at the same time, that the truth that is in Christ is a very constructive thing. When we receive truth into our lives, it takes away the layers that are not helpful and builds in that which is able to make us strong and able to stand in the evil day. And he's saying, Lord, I look to you, I'm trusting you, I'm leaning on you, because when you reveal a situation, when you reveal something about yourself, something about me, something about what you want to do, a vision, a understanding of your plans for your people, when you reveal it, it's true, and I can depend upon it. I'm not going to end up down some dead end. It's going to work out. It's going to come to a good place. So please, Lord, lead me into your truth. But later in the psalm, there are some verses which I think are particularly precious. At verse 14, the Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. What this speaks about is very much the whole business of relationship. When David realized the extent of his sin, the thing that disturbed him most was the fact that he realized his relationship with God could be broken forever. He had, I suppose you could say, a real fear that that's it, I've blown it. You know, I've so enjoyed the presence of God, the hand of God, the anointing of God, the revelation of God, and we look at some of the things he wrote, and we see the incredible way that he perceived creation and a number of other things, the shepherd heart of God. So many wonderful truths. He saw that and he thought, oh, you know, I just really understand. If God never spoke to me again, if I was banished, as it were, forever, I couldn't complain. I couldn't turn around and say, that's wrong. He says, I realize that. Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. But in this particular situation, he's saying, I'm so grateful that the Lord confides in those who fear him. In other words, he is in a place of relationship with God where God is sharing with him, opening up the heart of God to the heart of man in a wonderful and precious way. Reminds me of when Jesus is speaking later in John's Gospel when he says, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. What I'm after is being able to release what's in my heart into your heart. It's not task orientated, being a Christian, it is heart orientated. There are tasks to be done, but that's not the way Jesus sees it. He's not like a boss who's sitting there with a list and you turn up and this is what you've got to do today. It's not like that. It's a much more precious and wonderful thing. It's revealing what's on his heart so that we can begin to move and develop and grow in those areas that he's leading us into. The Lord confides in those who fear him. I mean, why should God confide in us at all? Why should he want to share with us? But this is the joy of following Jesus, that he wants to whisper. Maybe occasionally earthquake-like blast, but generally speaking, the quiet, still voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is what I want you to know. My sheep hear my voice, and in hearing my voice respond and know what they should do, where they should go. And so the psalm is a concoction really of pressure, realities of life, disappointment, awareness of enemies, awareness of personal failures, faults and sins. But overall, this psalm is talking about someone who says, Lord, I trust you. You have my best interests at heart. My enemies may just want to pull me to pieces. You care about me. You want to construct me. You want to make me to be the person that you designed me to be. Your truth is able to shape me in a way that the lies and deceit of the enemy can never do. That will only just mess me up. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. And then he says, and deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles. Up until that point, you see it's a discussion, as it were, between David and God, with the whole background of lots of pressures and difficulties in the world. But in that last little phrase, David is acknowledging, well, I believe he knew deep in his heart, but he's acknowledging, I and part of a bigger purpose. God's got plans for Israel. And of course, at this stage, there were still many plans to be revealed, especially the coming of the Messiah and Jesus. That's all still coming when David is writing these thoughts. And he's saying, Lord, your wider purposes be fulfilled. And as we sit in the presence of God and sit together tonight, we are able to say, yes, I know what I'm handling. I'm aware of all sorts of things going on in my life, in my world. But Lord, you know my heart is to trust you. Lord, you know that I want to hear your voice. I want you to be able to confide and share what's on your heart with me. And Lord, this isn't all about just my relationship with you alone. It's your wider purposes in your church, in your world, before you send Jesus back. Be at work in this world, and here I am, to play whatever part that may be, small or great. Here I am, to be one who trusts you, come what may. Amen.